Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
By the end of the decade, President Biden wants the U.S. to install thousands of offshore wind turbines capable of generating enormous amounts of energy. The White House says meeting this goal could slash carbon dioxide emissions and create thousands of jobs. But offshore wind power comes with its own impacts and trade-offs, especially for fishermen. Miriam Wasser from member station WBUR takes us to Montauk, New York, where a fisherman is grappling with a new reality.
David Arapach has been fishing for almost half a century, but he still gets excited every time the net is lifted from the ocean.
I've always been drawn to this. It hasn't been an easy life, but I love it, you know?
The boat motor winds as a big winch draws in a 250-foot net. The net is lifted from the water, bulging with shiny fish. Deckhands maneuver the net into place over the boat, and out pours a mass of flapping squid, flounder, skate, and other fish. Hundreds and hundreds of pounds. Arapach always loves seeing the catch.
It becomes an addiction, I guess. I mean, I just can't picture doing anything else.
Arapach is a member of a dwindling fishing community in Montauk, a ritzy Long Island town popular with wealthy New Yorkers. He's made a good living. Fishing helped build a house and send his two girls to college. He mostly fishes from Nantucket down to New Jersey, a stretch of ocean slated for offshore wind development. Some of his prime fishing grounds will soon be filled with turbines, and he's not happy about it.
They're talking about putting the majority of this garbage in that area, and I need all the grounds I got now to make a living.
He says fishermen already have to deal with fishing quotas, environmental regulations, and rising fuel costs. Offshore wind is just one more stress.
There's so many things going against you as a commercial fisherman in the United States. And now these wind farms, just it's almost like that's the final nail in the coffin.
While offshore wind presents a huge opportunity to help cut emissions and tackle climate change, fishermen like Arapach say it's only a matter of time before a boat wrecks on a turbine. They wonder if the government will bar fishing near wind farms, if the turbines will drive fish away. With so many unknowns, they worry it could sink their industry.
Many fishermen will not see a big impact, but fishermen who do may see a very large impact.
Chris McGuire is a former research vessel captain who now leads the ocean program at the Nature Conservancy in Massachusetts. He says the government has thought a lot about how to reduce the impact of offshore wind farms. They chose the waters south of Nantucket because they're less popular with fishermen.
For the fishermen who do fish there, though, that area is really important. So I think that's a hard part about this is, you know, you hear disparate opinions. And I think this is one of those situations when they're all true, depending on where you sit.
It's the little guys like Arapach, the owner-operated businesses with one boat, that will be the most affected, McGuire says. The big timers tend to go farther from shore and can generally afford to navigate around the wind farms. Wind developers and federal officials often point out that the two industries coexist in Europe. But McGuire says the comparison isn't really fair. The ocean floor is different. Fishermen don't use trawl nets like Arapach, and fishing is prohibited among the turbines.
Right now, it doesn't seem that we'll see that many, if any, real ecosystem impacts, but there's a lot of uncertainty around that.
There's an unknown, but that does not actually mean that everything is unknown.
Joe Southall is the fisheries liaison at Mayflower Wind, a developer proposing a project 20 miles south of Nantucket. He says the companies have made accommodations to fishermen. For instance, all the wind leases near Massachusetts and Rhode Island will have turbines spaced in a one-mile grid to make navigation easier.
I think the way that the process is set up for how these projects will develop has done a good job of incorporating opportunities for feedback.
But the fishing industry faces another threat, climate change. The Northeast Atlantic is heating up quickly, and fish are moving north.
Every single fisherman, whether they admit it or not, whether they are recreational or commercial, sees climate change and the effects of climate change on the water every single day.
Paul Eidman owns a recreational fishing company in New Jersey. He makes his living taking people out on the water in his boat, Real Therapy, to catch striped bass, bluefish, and albacore. It's not as easy as it once was. He says installing turbines in the water could actually improve his business by creating habitat for the fish he goes after.
all of a sudden you're going to have a reliable spot to go. These fish are going to gather there. There is not a doubt in my mind.
Eidman knows his views are unpopular with commercial fishermen. He's lost friends and been called a turncoat. But he still thinks climate change, not offshore wind, is the real enemy. Back on the squid boat near Montauk, Dave Arapach acknowledges that climate change is a threat. He's just not convinced that, as he puts it, industrializing the ocean is the solution.
I mean, why not maybe put in one wind farm right now and see what happens? I don't know why they're in such a hurry. I mean, they're talking about putting them up and down the East Coast.
The deckhands make small talk as they sort the second load of squid they've hauled in. Arapach watches them work. Big ones in the purple basket, small ones in the red bin. He worries Montauk's small fishing community won't survive offshore wind. I hope I'm wrong, he says, but he's pretty sure he's not. For Here and Now, I'm Miriam Wasser.
And Miriam's story was co-reported by Ben Starrow of E&E News.